Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. And welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat number 67 for September 2nd, 2010. This is Michael Loft, and I'm joined by my new co-host, Mr. Joe Steinkamp. And we've been feverishly working. We apologize. We're just a few minutes late. Skype has not been cooperating tonight, but thank God for good old-fashioned telephone conference bridges. They make the difference for us at the end of the day. And we have our guest tonight, which we're very honored to have with us from the AFB. We have Paul Schrader. He's the Vice President of Programs and Policy with the AFB in Washington, D.C. And we also have Darren Burton, who's the National Programs Associate. I want to thank both of you for joining us tonight. We have our first document up here on the screen. It's going to talk about really what we want to cover and what we want to talk about tonight. Basically, we want to give an overview of the initiative from the Federal Communications Commission to take comments on how we can be involved in input in making cell phone devices more accessible. And some of the things we're going to talk about are exactly what is happening at the FCC and, you know, creating your comments and submitting those, and just a wealth of issues here. I guess I'll start with you, Paul, and if you could explain to us initially what, I guess, so when this initiative began, or what the FCC is looking for, particular in comments.
Sure, Michael. Let me thank you and Joe and Serotalk for making this available. This is a terrific opportunity to let folks know what the opportunities are for improving cell phone accessibility. First of all, just a little bit of context. The Federal Communications Commission is the agency in Washington that handles communications policy, traditionally telephone, but also radio, TV, and cable issues. They have for 10 years been enforcing a requirement of law called Section 255. That's the paragraph in the Communications Act that was passed in 1996. That requires telephones and telecommunications services to be accessible for people with disability. Even in 1996, I don't think most of us knew how important cell phones were going to be. Obviously, they were around, but they were pretty basic at the time. And I don't know that people understood just how quickly cell phones were going to become so complex and such a daily part of our lives. So this law took about 4 years to, usually when a law passes, there then has to be rules put in place, and it took about 4 years to get those rules in place. So just about the turn of the new century, the new decade, the Federal Communications Commission put these rules in place for Section 255, and among other things, they made very clear that cell phones had to be made to be accessible for people with disabilities, including people with vision loss, blindness, vision impairment, if it's readily achievable. And we'll talk a little bit later about what that means and why that's important. But the cell phones had to be made accessible if it was readily achievable, and the cell phone services had to be made accessible if readily achievable. By the way, traditional phones also have to be accessible, business phones too. So it isn't just cell phones, it's any kind of telephone, telecommunications device. Well, what does that mean? It means really everything, because the rules talk about keyboards. They talk about the menus that are on the display. They talk about how to enter addresses in an address book and how to be able to make and receive calls and identify callers, know about battery strength, all the things you'd expect to need to know about a cell phone. One interesting thing that is not clearly covered, and I hope we'll get a chance to talk about that, is text messaging. Over the last 10 years, several complaints have been brought to the Federal Communications Commission about cell phone accessibility, and for the most part, the commission hasn't really taken much serious action. And so after several years of organizations like the American Foundation for the Blind and many others saying, you know, there simply isn't enough happening, there's not enough accessibility in the cell phone market, the FCC, under new leadership, Chairman Julius Genachowski and others, have decided to put this notice out to find out, okay, let's figure out exactly where we are 10 years into this Section 255 law. What's what's being done for cell phones. We hear, so says the commission, we hear that blind people aren't happy with the accessibility that's available. Let's find out what do consumers really think, what does industry think is doable, and that's what this notice is about. It's a chance for consumers to weigh in on what their experience has been with cell phone accessibility, and I think most of us have had enough experience now to say that for the most part, the cell phone industry has not really met our needs in terms of accessibility, especially if you factor out things like mobile speak, talks, etc., as the screen readers that we have to pay for to put on cell phones, which was not really the intent of the law. The law was intended to make the cell phones themselves be accessible right out of the box for people.
So there were a number of things here, and I don't know which of you is going to speak on these, but it talks about their concern with limited choices, accessibility info as far as carriers, and particularly their websites, documentation, and so forth, the availability of phones or devices, access within the stores, and even prepaid and paid-as-you-go plans. I assume, you know, that in conjunction with manuals and documentations and setting up the phone and activating and accessibility features are all things I assume that they're looking for at this point. Is that correct?
Michael, that's right.
Hey, Michael,
Darren
Burt
with us is our expert on cell phones, and I'm going to ask him. It sounds like he was already ready to jump, and I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit specifically about those issues.
You know, these elements, these issues that Michael just mentioned are just things we wanted to bring up, to things that you can think about if you want to make a comment to the FCC. So, you know, these are just ideas, you know, some of the issues to bring about, you know, a lot of these are things to think of that you might complain about, but of course they'll probably want to hear about positive things too. But, so, you know, historically, the issues with cell phones, ever since they began to become smarter, they got screens on them and things about a decade or so ago, and started to get more features, were the limited choices that we had to access even the basic features of phones. You know, things like, is the keypad even feelable? Is it tactile enough to make and just do the simple things of making and receiving calls? So, you know, as cell phones got smarter and more features, we with vision loss began to lose the ability to keep up all the extra features and functions. So that now limited choices has been one of the big barriers. Now, of course, now we do have a lot more choices. As Paul mentioned earlier, we've got the Symbian phones with the talks and mobile speak. You can add on. We've got the iPhone. You've got the emerging Android operating system with built-in accessibility. You've got the Windows mobile phones, the BlackBerry with software. So we have lots of choices now, but now one of the new things we need to consider is the availability of information about that. We still don't have as many choices as people without vision loss, but we do have several choices now, and now one of the more barriers is how do you get at that information. So, for example, the websites of the phone carriers and the manufacturers can post that information, but often that information is not very clear or very complete. They might have bulleted items like, we have phones for people with disabilities that A, have tactile keypads, B, have text-to-speech, C, are available with add-on software, are compatible with hearing aids or other hearing devices. But there's not a lot of information like, this phone A does X, Y, and Z, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very difficult to get the proper information there. Then, of course, you want to walk into a store. You go into one of the big national service providers, go to their storefronts, and often you go in there, and the well-meaning service personnel look at you like you may be from Mars when you want to talk about how a blind person can use their phones, and they're often not aware of the products that they do have, the choices that are there. So that's another one of the things you want to think about if you want to make a comment to the FCC. Another thing are limited options in accessibility if you want to use the pay-as-you-go or prepaid phones, which are getting more and more popular. You know, a lot of times you have very, very limited choices with those phones, and we don't know very many, if any, phones that we would call fully accessible. Then, you know, let's say you do get an accessible phone. What about the documentation? They often come in PDF formats that aren't completely designed properly. You might be able to get it maybe 70% of the information, but not everything. You know, so again, the documentation, is it available in Braille if that's your choice? Is it available in accessible electronic format? So those are things to concern if your experience has been that you have or haven't been able to get that. Other things are setting up the phone and activating the accessibility features. The phones, we have the feature phones, the more basic phones, that some of them do have some text-to-speech and other accessibility, and then we also have the smartphones that you have to add software. So even going into the settings and turning it on the feature phones or adding that sometimes complicated software onto one of these smartphones can be difficult. That's something you might want to think about when you talk to the FCC. Again, we're always talking about how we have to spend more money than the sighted public, too, so that might be something to think about. Sometimes we do have to pay more to get access to devices, and cell phones or mobile phones are not any different. Again, like we were talking about with the feature phones, we may want to settle for a phone that is fully accessible or partially accessible on the feature phone end, but you're not able to do all the bling-bling that all your buddies are doing on their phones. Again, we talked about loading the third-party software onto these phones, which can give you lots of accessibility, but it can be expensive, it can be difficult to install, it's the whole process can be something to consider about, and is it as robust as you want it to be, is it a good web browsing experience, things like that. And, you know, again, I mentioned the hearing aid, so you might want to talk about your experiences if you have other disabilities other than vision loss. Are you able to find a phone that has TTY capabilities, or is it compatible with a hearing aid, things like that. And then one of the final things we wanted to bring up, and of course this list is not exhaustive, but let's say you're deafblind or braille is your favorite way of interacting with devices. What about that? Is your braille display accessible? Is it compatible with the phone you want, or do you have to go with a different provider? So those are just some of the things to think about if you want to make a comment to the FCC about all the issues that you may face as a person with vision loss or with another disability and wanting to get a accessible mobile device. I think just one other comment, I think it's growing in importance these days is the accessibility of these mobile devices because of how much you can do on them. I would say on my smartphone, I use it maybe 2 or 3% as a phone. I use it as my portable computer. So it's getting more important in the personal and business worlds.
Now, does HR 3101 or S3304 change the paradigm as far as, because now maybe there's a little more requirements for companies to make devices accessible? Has that changed anything, or is it strictly going on 255?
Yeah, Michael, it's Paul. The HR 3101 and S3304, these, of course, are the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act that are just awaiting final passage this month when the House and Senate come back. They've both passed pretty similar versions, and they'll clean that up, we expect, this month. And I appreciate you asking. Those bills delve into a couple of additional points. They do clear up the text messaging question. So there's been this question with 255, is does it require text messaging to be accessible on phones? We say it does. Industry isn't sure, and the FCC hasn't decided. So that bill would clear that up. The other thing that the communications bill, the new one, does is clear up that web browsers on smartphones need to be made accessible. Now, they also give that a 3-year time frame, I think it is, to clean that up and make that clear. So that's a new step. That is not required under Section 255, which only speaks to the telephone part of the cell phone. And I do want to reiterate that I think people have not understood that the law does require accessibility. I mean, so there's no question that the fact that we ought to be able to have more choice of cell phones than we currently have that are accessible. There's no question that the law requires it. The Federal Communications Commission is supposed to enforce that law, and they simply haven't done it. In fact, in their own document on broadband accessibility, they also point out that they haven't been enforcing laws like Section 255 on cell phones. So one of the things that people can do with these comments is to help the FCC to understand that consumers with vision loss really don't have the choices that they should have in cell phones. And if something isn't done, individuals should be complaining to the Federal Communications Commission, because that's the only way to enforce the law. They should be complaining to the FCC to get them to take action to move cell phone accessibility forward. Our view, though, Michael, is let's see if we can get industry to make steps with these kinds of comments that consumers are going to give to this document, I hope, and industry can clearly understand that consumers with vision loss expect choices across cell phones, from the moderately priced, relatively simple phones to the high-end smartphone.
Now, I'm sorry, did you have something, Darren? I was going to ask about the prepaid because you'd mentioned that, and I didn't know where there was any accessibility, especially in those particular phones. I just saw a service that I was not aware of that might meet the needs of a lot of people because there's no contractual commitments to it for like $45 a month. It actually gives you voice, texting, and data. So I was curious that that issue was addressed because people might be on fixed incomes or only use the phone when they're traveling, so maybe they don't need the monthly or two-year commitment type contract. So I was curious that they are looking at the prepaid and pay-as-you-go services as well.
Yeah, Dan, from what we have seen, we haven't investigated completely as much as the regular market, this whole pay-as-you-go market, but it's certainly getting very popular. It's what I bought for my mother because she just uses it when she travels or as an emergency phone, and a lot of people do that. But we have not seen much of anything at all as far as accessibility in that market. And Paul, do you want to address as far as those things are part of this these new efforts with the FCC?
Yes, prepaid and pay-as-you-go services also should be accessible. So there's and I don't think there has been very much movement. I don't think that part of the industry is even really aware of Section 255.
So it talked about asking about having to spend more money for accessibility. Now that raises to me an interesting point about the difference between having to pay just to have basic access and then our choice as consumers to pay more for certain devices to give us greater capability. I mean, what exactly are they looking for? Is this just general comments at this point, or how are they delineating the difference between... I guess what I want to know is, what is basic accessibility? What are they going to come back and feel that these phones or that the providers, each of the carriers, need to offer up at least some technologies to accomplish?
This is Paul. I'll jump in first, and I'd be interested to hear what Darren has to say. I think there's a couple things. The Federal Communications Commission recognizes that particularly on the lower end of phone accessibility, there's not been very much movement in accessibility. And those are the phones that you can't typically add a screen reader to. I realize that's starting to change now as more and more platforms allow software. But really, it's those lower-end phones. And many people who want those lower-end phones don't want to mess around with adding software. And so part of what I think they're getting at is, what's the situation in that environment? If you simply want a phone to make calls, set up a simple address book, maybe do some text messaging, do you have an option? And I would say that that's the part of the market that's the weakest for consumers and the hardest, because it's the part where either there isn't software available or most people who are in that segment don't want to be messing around or have the cost of added software. I think the other tension is that we as users, of course, are sophisticated users, are used to having a lot of control over our accessibility environment. So we like the MobileSeek and mobile access products and talks, et cetera, because they do allow for more control over the environment than some of the built-in accessibility would. And I think here is where a chance for consumers to simply talk about what's important to them. There's a trade-off for some people. Not having to spend the extra $295 or other amount for the third-party software is important. They want the accessibility built in, even if it might mean slightly less control of some of the issues. For other people, of course, they don't mind the expense, or they'll take the subsidy that AT&T or Verizon offers for the software, and they get more control over their environment that way, and they're happy with that. So I think that's the other part that the FCC might be trying to get at there.
Is there anything that in these conversations so far that would lead us to believe that the built-in would be updated? I mean, that's kind of something that I'm curious about, is that, let's take, for instance, the LG phones. Those are kind of the early ones that had built-in voice or things like that. There's no really way to update those once when they're actually baked into the hardware or software. So I wonder if some of that's being considered moving forward, if things could be flashed forward or, be able to handle things when things come up later down the road in any software environment.
Yeah, this is Dan. Let me tackle that one. I think on that, what we're calling feature phones, the more basic phones, and one other thing, I do think these comments to the FCC that we can provide will help the FCC kind of define what Michael was asking about, like what is basic accessibility. Hopefully this process will help that. But let's call a feature phone a non-smartphone, a non-iPhone, Windows phone, Symbian phone, BlackBerry, et cetera, Android. So a basic phone like such as the LG phones. I don't see, those are, they don't really last that long. They're a year, year and a half, 2 year phones, and then you get a new one. A lot of people do anyway. They don't seem to, and I don't see the updating of those. Like you would connect them to your computer and download the upgraded software. But we would hope that as the new versions come out, for example, in the LGs, we've had new versions come out and a little bit of incremental increase in the accessibility, but not much. We do, I would say there's only one phone, the new one on the market, that Haven from Samsung that is built, that is offered by Verizon. It is a feature phone, a low-end phone, where texting is probably about as fancy as you get, some alarms, some calculators, calendars. But it seems to be, at first glance, I've only had it for a couple days, but it does seem to be fully accessible. But that's the only one on that market. So I think rather than sort of upgrading the phones, we hope to incrementally or large-stepping increase the overall global accessibility of these phones because, like we know with the LGs, they have a lot of really interesting, very useful access features. They still have a lot of menus that end in nowhere. So we'd hopefully that kind of would increase as we move along on that end. And I'll agree with Paul. It's the low end that a lot of our users are, a lot of our consumers are interested in. I mean, I work in the ASPE Tech Product Accessibility Lab. I want every new iPhone and Symbian phone and Android phone, all these platforms to play with, but a lot of folks are aging baby boomers, just want a basic accessible phone, and I think that's where there has been a lot less movement, way less movement than in the smartphone arena.
Okay, on that, I want to go to the big thing for me has always been the concern, how do you submit comments? What's the proper method for doing it? Are there any don'ts, any things that you want to avoid or certain things that will have your comments excluded? We'll talk about some of the specifics, but let's talk about that, the comment submission process.
Yeah, this is Paul Michael. They've tried really hard at the FCC to make this simple. I think every government agency is desperately trying to make it easier for the public to put comments in. They've started this regulations.gov. I haven't actually used it, so I can't speak to whether that portal is any good or not, but that's an option for people filing comments. Of course, the URL for the FCC filing system is also here on the Saratalk screen for anyone who wants to follow that. And I should say, we're going to put this information up on AFB's website as well under our cell phone page. It's afb.org/cellphone, CELLPHONES. We'll have that there so people can follow the links. So one thing is they're trying to make the filing of electronic comments easier. I believe there's also an email way to do it that we've laid out here. In terms of what to say and how to do comments, they've also tried hard to make that easy so that you don't have to be a lawyer to file comments and you don't have to worry about all the niceties of the right language. So people simply need their full name, their address, and they do need to put one piece of information in that will make it helpful to make sure the right people look at your comments, and that's the, right there at the bottom of the screen, CG, as in Charlie Gulf, docket, D-O-C-K-E-T, number 10-145. That's the tracking system, so it'll make sure the comment gets tracked the right way. So that's CG docket number 10-145. And then in terms of what to comment about, that's part of what Darren and I have both been talking about, and that's all of these kinds of issues. Really, it's telling your story. And, people don't have to worry about writing in the legal language. What's important is to tell your story. Are you using a phone that you're satisfied with? Did you find the phone that you needed that had the features you wanted? If you didn't, what is lacking? And what were the problems you experienced in finding a phone? And if you have successes, that's great to point out, too.
And then there was the ECFS at FCC.gov, so they could actually email you a form. So if you don't feel comfortable actually composing a letter or email, so to speak, you could actually just use the form, fill in the information, and submit your comments in there as well. Plus, there's another link in this document that we are showing on the screen. So like you said here, I was just looking real quick for the so there's not too much really information that you need to include in that, just your full name and It did ask for a U.S. postal mailing address, which would certainly want to make sure you're a U.S. citizen and not just stuffing the box, so to speak, with irrelevant comments. And then, like you said, the applicable CG docket 10-145. Darren, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
No, I think Paul covered that. Again, I want to stress that we will have this information up on our AFB.org website if people want to come back and look at that and follow through with making their comments that way.
Do you have info on regulations.gov? I was not aware of it until you sent me these documents. Is this something pretty new as far as the FCC is concerned? Is this something that came in with the Obama administration, or am I just out of the loop? I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah, I think that's a new system. I don't know if it's new to this administration, but it's certainly, and it's not just an FCC page, actually. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, I was looking at file drilling, offshore drilling, a whole wealth of
attempt to make federal regulations easier to get involved in.
Do you guys have suggestions of what language you should use, certain things that you should point out? Is there a common situation that you're seeing that you think would be important for people to really capitalize on?
This is Paul. I'll take quick stab at it.
Go ahead, Paul.
And then I want you to jump in there. I really think that this is a chance for people to say exactly what their issues are. I mean, we've pointed out over and over again that I think it's these low to mid-range phones are the problem, but I don't want to say that there aren't problems in the smartphone higher-end market. Just because software exists doesn't mean everybody wants to spend the money for the software. You've already spent the money for the phone and the service, and so, you know, you're putting a tax on people with disabilities that no one else has to pay for accessibility. We all know that BlackBerry, there's a product to make that accessible, but it's a very expensive product. It's not used across the BlackBerry product line. And I believe, the product line of Tom, which is admittedly less important these days, has no accessibility. So we've got serious problems across all parts of the cell phone industry, and I think the industry has been gliding by too easily, frankly, in meeting the needs of blind consumers, and we haven't been vocal enough. And let me just say that our colleagues who are deaf are very strong advocates with the FCC. That's why there's strong captioning requirements, and that's why people take captioning requirements seriously, because deaf consumers raise their voice, as it were, and are very serious in making their case. We need to do the same thing on cell phone and other accessibility if we want to take advantage of the requirements that are attempting to equalize our access.
What about third-party comments? In other words, attempting to speak on behalf of or present situations of other people, because you mentioned it's the lower-end phones, and I'm concerned this is a market of people who may not even be online or may not even be listening to this particular presentation. Is that okay, or if you present something in that way, you're just, you know, saying it is a family member, a friend, or because I work in an industry that I deal with a number of different clients and I'm seeing the issues that they have, it is okay to maybe make some third-party comments?
Go ahead, Darren.
I think that makes sense to me. Paul, after I finish, let me know if that's not proper, but I would imagine that certainly if you have an elderly person in your family who, like you said, Michael, is not online or doesn't get into all this tech stuff but does want an accessible phone, you may be the person that does the advocacy for that person. So that seems natural to me. And to follow up on what Paul said earlier, I do think that it's that low-end market, the low to mid-end, the feature phones, not the smartphones. It's going to have a lot of interest in that community, so I think it would be fine to talk about that from a third-person standpoint. And another thing that, as a lover of this technology and certainly of the iPhone with all the access that it provides, I think one good point to make is how important these phones are in the workplace today. And if I want to compete with my next-door neighbor in this tough industry we're in the tough economic world we're in, I'm a bit behind. If I can't be on the train and catching up with my emails and my sales pitches while he's doing that, and I have to wait till I get to my office where I have a computer where I can do that. So I think those are some points to make us, you know, these are tools to make us more employable and become, you know, we can cut down on this high unemployment rate that we have.
Certainly finding the information is the key. AT&T has their accessibility website for cell phones, and you're right, the Deaf Solutions are definitely on the forefront of that website, and they are very prominent. A lot of the people that I've worked with over the past and spoken to in my previous vocation didn't know where to find this information, and it's always difficult for individuals to, get somewhere, even through just customer service. There seems to be always a lack of knowledge or an avenue for someone to approach this. So hopefully that's what some of this information will also get, is for some type of education to the customer as well, to get that information out there. Maybe that's something we can advocate for as well.
And we have enabled live voice questions or text chat. I want to try to stay away from voice questions. I mean, we've enabled that, so our participants in the audience can submit their concerns, because we certainly like to hear from everyone. Do we have any idea of how many people have been involved in this process, or is it pretty closed door? Normally these have deadlines, right? Do we know what the deadline for filing comments on this particular topic?
Yes, that good question. September 13th is the first deadline, so it's coming up very quick. The Federal Communications Commission also, unlike many agencies, uses something called reply comments. And so what you can do is read the comments that are submitted on the 13th and reply, add material, whatever, on the 30th. So it is really two bites at the apple. So the first one, September 13th, so it's just less than 2 weeks away. And the second one is on September 30th at the end of the month. And I do, as we said, we do encourage people to submit and to have a look at the comments that people submit.
Yeah, and we'll provide links to that as well, as I'm sure you will at AFB, and we will at Cerro Talk, so that people can read those comments, and maybe that'll inspire them ideas and their own personal stories so that they can follow up. Okay, we have our first question here. Let's see what we have this evening. Steve Kelly asked us to repeat the docket number. It is 10-145, and he asks if it will be up on the website. Yes, all of the comments for this will be at CerroTalk.com. And of course, if you're viewing an accessible event, it is up on the screen as a word that, well, it was here. I'll put it back up there. I was showing the actual FCC comments page and the electronic filing and public access system. I was also showing the regulations.gov. There you go. The document's back up there. If that helps you, if you want to paste it or anything, copy it to your clipboard or what have you. Get any other questions? We'd certainly welcome those. Okay. So do we really know about, I mean, can you give us a little bit of insight into the HR 3101? Because I'm concerned, because it, to me, would really seem if it changes the paradigm if now hardware manufacturers are required to put a little bit more into their devices. What specifically is addressed between these two bills having to do with cell phone technology?
This is Paul. For the most part, the new bills, the new 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, doesn't directly influence the cell phone world as much as Section 255 does. Admittedly, HR 3101 is built on Section 255, so it's really intended to extend the requirements that apply to cell phones and other telephones to Internet-connected devices. So it does speak to, as I said, it clears up text messaging, it adds web browsing as an area that needs to be made, as an application that needs to be made accessible, and it also would cover electronic mail on mobile Internet-connected devices, so that would have to be made accessible. That's not part of the current rule on 255. The other thing that's different about the 21st Century Communications bills when it comes to the access to devices and services is that it includes references to applications, because we've learned a few things since 255 was passed in 1996. And one of the things we've learned is that there is a third-party market, but it's a market that currently is very expensive with mobile access and talks and others. And we also have seen third-party applications added to iPhone and other platforms, not so much for accessibility, but for other reasons that are very cheap. So there's the intent in the 21st century bills, these HR 3101 and S3304, is to enable companies to include applications for accessibility, but to ensure that they don't charge more than a nominal fee for accessibility. And that helps clear up one of the problems. And I'll quickly explain why. Section 255 says that cell phones and other phones need to be accessible for people with disabilities, but it also says if you can't build the accessibility in, you can make it accessible by using commonly used assistive technology. The terminology is a little bit different because it's telephone terminology, but essentially that's what that means. And so that's why it's legal to say that a phone is accessible if you can buy mobile access or talks and put it on the phone to make it accessible. But it really has created this very difficult system, especially for people who don't have the money to buy that software.
Okay, I've got a couple questions backed up, but I want to ask this one. It's a really good question from Kevin. It says, so the FCC is just looking for comments at the moment, nothing as far as making it mandatory features and smartphones to be accessible, which raises a question for me. At the end of the day, how much authority do they have?
This is Paul. They're asking for comments now, but there's no question that all of the functions related to making phone calls and using a phone for phone calls, that would include, you know, the management of your address book, and that would include, I believe, text messaging, because in my view that service is very much like a phone call. But let's hold that off for a second. All of the functions related to making a phone call have to be made accessible. So you've got to be able to use the menus on your phone. You've got to be able to enter a phone book. You've got to be able to ID callers. All that stuff has to be accessible for somebody with disability. That's required today. And what I think two things need to happen. One is that the Federal Communications Commission needs to hear from blind consumers that it simply isn't happening today, that the industry is failing to provide robust access for all of those functions. And if they don't take action to make industry comply, then obviously we as consumers need to submit complaints to the FCC, and they're going to have to do enforcement investigations, which admittedly they haven't really been doing. So it's not so much that they don't have the mandate. What they haven't had in the past is the toughness, I think, to follow through. I hope that this new commission is serious. It sounds like they are, and I'd like to take them at their word and test them and see if they really are serious. So the first thing they need to hear from consumers is that we really are interested in better cell phone access.
Well, here's here's another comment from Kenny, and saying, I think the FCC should make the phone manufacturers make all apps accessible instead of half baking the accessibility. So now there you're raising a big issue of the difference between government mandates and self-regulation and industry using focus groups and going out and finding what people really need. Do you have any comments on that statement? It's a pretty strong statement.
What do you think, Darren?
Interesting that you should ask that. I believe there's an industry group doing a focus group effort right now. Probably don't know if all the details are public knowledge yet, but that's something I think that is when industry makes their own efforts at making accessibility, such as what Apple did with the iPhone, I think that's a very good result.
Were you gentlemen following Gary Shapiro's comments prior to the passage of 3101 and 3104? Because it seems like he was stating something very similar in that the market will take care of itself and things will be okay just given enough time. Did you guys follow that any?
Yeah, this is Darren. We did follow that, and I think that's why those kind of comments definitely point out the need for comments from the community to say to counter that, because certainly the gist of what he says, everything's fine, don't worry about it. And we've had 10 years to really see that happen, and it really, I don't think it has.
So again, someone else feeling pretty strongly about it, saying, sorry, in this mobile connected world, we need more than just the ability to make and receive phone calls. Text messaging, email, and internet are a must. Do you think that Mrs. Jenikowski and folks involved in FCC take a similar view? Or, I mean, where do you think this is going to come down? Obviously, there's going to have to be some compromise.
Yeah, this is Paul. I know that they have a similar view, that they recognize the importance of mobile technologies. They know that mobile technologies are the driving force of innovation, are the driving force of communication. Access to the internet from mobile devices is key, but there are limitations on what the Federal Communications can do now on the internet, and those go back to policy decisions that were made in the 70s and 80s that were to separate certain kinds of services to keep them unregulated, and those services tended to grow up into the internet. A lot of people, of course, think that's why the internet's successful. I happen to believe the internet's successful because there are a lot of great applications that have been used, and frankly, a lot of investment by government and private industry and others to make it successful, including the mobile internet. And so the Federal Communications Commission has limits on what it can do with the internet, but that's a big part of what the 21st century communications bills were designed to do, is to help ensure that the accessibility piece of the internet could be fostered for people with disabilities without unduly upsetting the larger issues around regulating the internet for lots of other reasons that are probably too complex to go into tonight. But they do, that larger question or that larger issue really does influence our efforts to get accessibility, and it does make it a little bit more challenging because of the policy challenges around anything that touches the Internet.
So you're saying the FCC can be involved in the phone call traffic, even the text messaging, as it's number to number, but the email and web in particular are two areas because of rulings that they really have to take a back seat on. I'm sure they'd like to be more involved, but they have to stay more with the accessibility of the hardware itself.
I think we're seeing that conversation happen. I'm sorry, guys. I think we're seeing that conversation happen right now with net neutrality, don't you guys think?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. That issue being very much debated. And I encourage people to get involved in that issue because there are disability component issues and there are other issues that people have an interest in. So we should all be actively talking and debating about the way the Internet is treated in this country.
Yeah, this is Dan. I agree. I think net neutrality, let's do a whole other show on that. I think we could do all night on that. There's a whole lot of things going on there. One thing, I think that in addition to what our advocacy work with the FCC, I think, again, we need to make our voices heard to industry. You know, let's speak with our pocketbooks and with our telephones and our emails and things to get the points across to industry that we will purchase this, and we are a small demographic, but I think there's enough oomph in that demographic to make some difference. And I think this makes a point to industry that, look, we really, if once I have a device that I can do all of these things, again, I am more employable, I'm more likely to be a taxpayer than a tax receiver. And I think you have to look at those efforts also, as well as our efforts with the regulation. And I think maybe between all the different angles, we can really start to see some more progress. And there has been progress over the last 10 years that we've been involved at AFB with monitoring and consulting and assessing and all the work we do in the cell phone area. There has been significant progress, but it's still not enough.
To me, it seems like a big issue is going to be marketplace awareness, educating the staff of the cell phone stores. So people come in, they just want a phone that's accessible. They're not particularly hung up on which model it is, but there's a big hole in terms of education of the staff, of the store employees. Is that something that the FCC can filter down into how the carriers train the employees of their stores?
This is Dan. I think that's definitely something that we need to make the FCC aware of in these comments that we place. And that issue is a very, very difficult issue to solve. I'm on an advisory panel with one of the large nationwide service providers, and they did a large effort on this training process. And it wasn't just hand them out a sheet of paper. It was an all-day thing, and they had to do some different follow-up. And it did make some impact, but it's a difficult problem with this because that profession is not a stay there for a long time. There's a lot of turnover when you go into a store. We go into our local stores a lot, and I very, very rarely ever see the same people. So let's say you do a huge training effort, then they're gone in 6 months, and you got to get a new one. So it is difficult, but there are ways to solve that. You know, we need to put a link on their big computer that says accessibility on their home screen of what they're looking at that they can click on, to then at least find some information about what they serve. But that's something that, we're going to have to do a lot of advocacy on lots of avenues to try to get that problem solved. And again, the reality of it is right now is the best consumer is an educated consumer. We have to walk into those stores armed to the bear, armed, ready for bear with the information we need.
Well, next week we are going to cover...
Also two other keys real quick, Michael.
Okay.
While we're on that. One is definitely you're right. It's not the low-level employee, and I don't want to use the term low-level, but entry-level employee. It's sometimes the regional managers and the follow-ups that have to come across in a best practice and be worked into their general sales training. And I agree with you in that direction. I think the other thing that we need to state also is it's very frustrating, but we also have to keep a calm, cool head and not to get too emotional here. It's very important to us. I'm not downplaying that at all. But we also have to remember that we're working with people, and people get very frustrated. And we feel frustrated about this because it's been so important to us over the years. Keep a cool head and keep things above board and polite when dealing with individuals because you'll get a lot more with sugar than vinegar.
Next week we are going to cover the topic of Android phones. And the reason I mention that, we're talking about Android next week, but I don't think there are at present, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but is there any effort to come up with Android technology that is either not tied to a two-year contract, so maybe that could be a bridge to opening up accessibility to advanced features of cell phone technology?
Michael, this is Darren. I don't think I heard the beginning of your question, but you're talking about, is there an effort at Android to make the Android operating system available without a two-year contract? Is that?
Yeah, basically, right, a lower...
Can you repeat the question, I guess?
No, you are correct. Is there an effort, maybe, could that be a tool to either, you know, right, standalone Android phones without contract, that might be a way to close the gap of accessibility for some of the internet features or just phone navigation? So you heard it correctly, yes.
You know, we actually have a meeting scheduled with Google to talk about this. You know, you certainly can buy unlocked Android phones and have that without a contract and be able to, do, you know, hook up to a Wi-Fi and browse. But I think it's great that it's built in like the iPhone is, but I did an article in our Access World magazine about that in our July issue, and it's getting there. And I'm very, very confident that Android's going to be a real solution for us. But right now, it's not as global, and it's not as robust. And again, there could be some more information out there about that too, from both Google and service providers.
Okay, we're down to our final 2 minutes, so I'm going to ask each of you for final comments. And so, Paul, if you'd like to give any final comments, any thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with tonight?
Again, I want to thank Sarah Chalk for the opportunity to let people know about this notice and the federal communications efforts. Most important, I want people to tell their story, to let the commission know about the accessibility challenges and interests of people who are blind in better cell phones. And if we don't get better solutions fairly quickly, I hope people will start making complaints, making them politely but firmly, and making clear that our expectations are that we have phones that we can use from everything from calling all the way through to the internet features.
Okay, Darren, final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys again. I keep up the good work. I love your shows, and thanks for having me on. I think I just want to, you know, again, make yourself heard out there. And again, just as the tech geek that I am, I just want to be an advocate to get out there and try these gadgets. This mobile world that we live in, it's great when you can be traveling and find out the information and where the closest restaurant is when you get off the train. So just encourage everybody out there to go out and investigate this new world of mobile accessibility.
Okay, well, I want to thank Joe. Did you have any final thoughts tonight? Something you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh no! I want to thank the gentlemen for their time. I appreciate it. I think it's really important that we keep this in the conversation and have this debate. And it may be something that we may have to revisit because this stuff is so quick to update that, you know, this may be something you guys, if you're up to it, we may need to do again at some point because you know, these new phones, especially in the Android market, there seems to be a new one every other 3 months. And I think it'd be good for us to talk about this again if you guys are interested. We'd be glad to do it.
Well, awesome. Well, I thank both of you, Paul Schrader and Darren Burton from the AFB, for taking time out of your evening to come on and share this important issues and this really fantastic opportunity that we have to make a difference for ourselves and maybe those that we care about, either with third-party comments, get links from serotalk.com and, of course, over at AFB. And join us next week. We'll be talking about the current state of Android access, and we'll have a round table of three or four individuals who are currently using the technology that can tell us about the good and the bad and the areas that need work. So until we meet again next week, we invite all of you to stay connected and stay directed.
This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.